Back in on Canucks Central. Stan Riccio, Satyar Shah. Coming up, we're going to have a mailbag Friday. I'm sure there will be some Elias Pettersson questions.
Maybe one or two.
In the mailbag. at some point, someday, we'll see Elias Pettersson play well again. Hopefully that day is soon.
We shall hope.
We hope.
It's like it's kind of like the line from Silo. It's like, one day we'll be able to go out. We will be able to walk outside, but today is not that day.
Yeah, today is not that day. All right, our next guest, Yannick Hansen, joins us every single Friday. This analyst brought to you by the Magnuson Auto Group, Mentor Ford, Port Coquitlam, and Magnuson Ford in Abbotsford on both sides of the Fraser to serve you. What's happening, Yannick? How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
We are doing pretty well. Canucks back into a playoff spot. Hasn't always been pretty, but, you know, at this time of year and where the Canucks are, to get wins, no matter how you do it, when Quinn Hughes is out of the lineup, that's got to be a positive. Is that the only way to look at it, really?
I look at it as if Demko has arrived again, it will alleviate a lot of the concerns. Last two games, he's been nothing short of phenomenal. Again, the fact that they needed him to be like that in San Jose is worrisome. But again, your best players need to be your best, and he was the best player, and that's why they got out of that game with 2 points.
Yeah, and I mean, at this stage with this Canucks squad, especially when we have a bunch of new faces on the team too, like, how long do you think it takes for these guys to really figure out their chemistry? They had the two first great games. Last night wasn't fantastic. Quinn wasn't playing either. But when you add like three or four new faces, how long does that take for everybody to come together? Mid-season, that is.
You know what? To be honest, normally the first couple of games are normally good. They play on adrenaline. They're so excited, new, fresh and stuff. And then it kind of fades out a little bit, and then they have to find their rhythm once we get through the first couple of games where you're like all amped up and everything. But that being said, Hedl and O'Connor looks good. I thought that the line with O'Connor, Hedl, and was it Brock last night in San Jose? Mm-hmm. They were creating chances. I was happy for O'Connor that he scores that the goal in the shootout, because he should have probably had one or two in the first period. He gets set up on a breakaway in tight. So it's always good to see them score because it feels like you're new to the team. You want to help this team. And some of these players you bring in aren't necessarily big goal scorers. Yeah, we're expecting Hedl to come in and produce, but O'Connor's a depth winger. Pettersson is a defenseman that's on the defensive side of things, so not one you see on the score sheet. But again, those guys coming in, being valuable to the team, having a hand in the team winning, is a big step in and makes them feel like, okay, I'm part of the team now, I'm helping them win, they like that I'm here, and now we can put all those things aside and you can get to know me and myself, get to know them, kind of thing.
Those first two games watching Hedl, it's like, oh, who is this guy? He didn't look like this in New York. And maybe last night it dropped off a little bit, but still a lot of good things. He's been super impressive. Could this just be a player excited about knowing he's got a big opportunity at his table right now?
I don't watch a lot of the East Coast teams, so I knew nothing of him. So when you trade JT, I was like, oh, who are we getting back and what are they going to do? But like you mentioned, he's been noticeable almost every time he's on the ice. He carries the puck. He's fast. He makes plays. So he's been a bright spot. There's no question about that. And if he can continue to play like this, making plays, producing, again, it will make the trade a little less sour on the surface of it, because he is the one guy who can pull through and say, okay, yeah, we gave up a legitimate, potentially number one center and got depth pieces back, but hey, you have a young guy here, youngish guy, and he's going to come in and he's going to put up points. I think his max so far is in the 40s or something like that. If he can touch 60 or 70, now you're starting to have something, because, yeah, JT put up 100 a couple of years in a row. But again, there's a five-year age gap here, so JT should come over the hill at some point. It didn't look like it when he landed in New York. But again, Hedl's first impression have been a very positive one.
And like you mentioned, adrenaline plays a big part into it. But, you know, the thing that was that I was most impressed by with Hedo last night, and we know he made a mistake on the tying goal late, gives the puck away, but he showed no fear, and he wanted to go and make up for it in overtime. And I like the talk it threw him back out there, and he was trying to make a play, and he made the pass to O'Connor, who drew the penalty shot. What did that tell you about the mentality of the player to not have that moment, like have him shrink in the moment?
I don't have an issue with the turnover. It's not a turnover in my book. He picks the pocket and try to come out of the corner with the puck and get away from it, and then he's surrounded and pucks get whacked around. It's not like he gave it away. It looked like that, but his intentions are pure there. So it didn't strike me that bad in that sense. Yeah, it ended right on Toffoli's stick, and then he bounced it in off of Forbert and those things. Like you mentioned, the fact that he wanted to make up, what was more telling was who was on the ice to begin that overtime. It wasn't Brock. It wasn't Petey. Mm-hmm. It wasn't DeBrusk. No, it was those two, and they were there because they've earned it. They were there because the way they played that game, they were two difference makers, and they did it with speed and they did it with finesse. Did we dive in a little bit too deep, give up a 2-on-1? That happens. We've lost 11 overtimes, I think it is. Maybe somebody else needs to come in and try something, and they got rewarded. But again, the telling part was there that, you're giving the guys that are going a chance, and other players have had multiple opportunities to play overtime that haven't gotten it done. He throws out those two, and lo and behold, they set up a breakaway.
Yeah, and I think the other part of that equation is just like Pettersson was having a really, really tough time last night. He's had a really tough time all season long, but, you know, not that he's completely unplayable, but I could see why if you're the coach. It's not just a message sending like, hey, I'm putting the new guys out. It's also like, why wouldn't I put the new guys out? They've clearly been our best players.
Yeah, again, I don't know. I'm running. I was hoping we didn't have to talk about him today because
we're the same, Yannick. We're the same.
it's one of those things that are legitimate positive things around the team right now. Team is winning. Demko has been good now for two, three games. New guys are coming in. They're settled things down. They're positive influence. Höglander, I got mentioned by Talkett as having a good game. We haven't heard that in ages. Like, there are positive things. He's a black hole right now for everything good. He had multiple opportunities yesterday to shoot the puck, Petey, and it didn't happen for whatever reason, passing off, losing pucks. He wants pressure. Well, here's the pressure, and it's worse than when JT was screaming down his throat in the dressing room, apparently, because now, like, there's nowhere to hide. Every time you line up, and this will only last for so long because now teams will realize, okay, it's not Petey we need to worry about anymore. He's not doing anything for the Canucks. It's these other guys. But there's nowhere to hide now. He is the number one center. He is the main focal point when you go and look at the 12 forwards. Who is he playing with? Stop them, and then we have a pretty good chance. And San Jose almost did it. Like, yeah, we got a shot from the half wall that goes in off of some guy, and it's like, that's how you have to win games right now because the offense isn't clicking. We don't have players when Quinn is out and JT's gone that you can almost count on producing goals every night. Your star players, the guys that are leading your team, you have to be able to count on them scoring every night. They got to get that 1-2 goals, then the depth, second, third, fourth line, and the other four Ds got to produce another. That gives us three goals, and three goals should be enough to win every game. You look around the league, you look at Edmonton, you look at Colorado and Calgary, who scores for them? Who produces these goals? And then they get a little bit of depth scoring, and that pushes them over the top. And sometimes they don't get the depth scoring, but the stars are enough to get it done. And right now, Vancouver, they just don't have it, especially with Quinn out. And it's remarkably the way that we're talking that a single defenseman are the focal point for offense for Vancouver right now. But that's kind of where it's dried up to be. It's great that all these players are playing well and doing these things. But again, the goals that you can count on, they just aren't there right now. And that's a little bit troublesome, even though they've gotten their win 5-1-1 in the last seven games and so forth against again, opportunity or opponents aren't the strongest we've seen outside of Avalanche, but I'd say we were lucky to get out of that first period. But again, got off track a little bit.
No, I get what you're saying, because I think ultimately, like, all this does come down to Pettersson, and I think we're grasping at straws, right? Because people were asking us, like, how does he find a way to get out of it? And we're like, well, maybe if he goes to the Four Nations and plays well, does that carry over? I think we're all just, like, grasping at reasons for him to find his game, and maybe it just won't happen this year.
No. If it was 10 games he'd been bad, I could say, okay, yeah, let's get him off to play for Team Sweden and then feel good about himself and stuff like that, but it's so long, and now you've removed the one excuse, whether or not it was a legitimate excuse or not, from him, and it's not better, it's worse, it's less. So it's like, I don't know what to, again, you hope that he picks up the game and starts to become somebody you can trust in, but you're starting to look more and more into maybe the changes that were done aren't enough, and again, That's a scary thought too, but I don't know what you do. It's over a year now, and it's just more of the same. And you don't hear any reasonings, any possibility. It's just I want the pressure, and I'm trying my hardest. And at some point, trying my hardest is not good enough.
Yeah, and when we spoke to Patrick Alvin yesterday, he said, you know, preparation is a big part of it with where Pettersson is at. And you start thinking about, oh, well, he must have not had the best of off seasons. And, you know, when you're going through the grind of a season, you're not going to be able to make up for a slow off season or a lackluster off season.
I hope that's not the case, because then he should have been shut out the cannon earlier, if it's because he doesn't show up in shape or doesn't take it serious. You're the wheel this team revolves around. Him, Quinn Hughes, JT, and Demko when they showed up this summer or after the summer. This is where it lies. It's on you. You just saw what it took. You played against Edmonton. You were terrible in the playoffs. This is where you want to play. If you're not good enough here, then you go back in the summer and you make sure you're in the best possible shape. You've never been faster, stronger, better than you are. And then you show that I'm going to take this team to another level. And if you don't, well, fine. You probably just want to collect your dollars and have a good time playing in the NHL. But then this team is not right for you, or you're not right for my team, or so to speak. And that's where management has to step in and say, okay, we miscalculated here. Yeah, he's a phenomenal player. He's a great player. He can put up points, but he's not a guy we can win with. So let's find something that will get us in the right direction. And yeah, you will not win this trade either. But again, at some point, you look at players and say, can we win with him? Yes or no? And if we want to win, if we truly want to win, sometimes you have to make a really, really rough decision, and that would be a rough decision given up to a 26-year-old who won a Calder Trophy, who's proven that when he's at his best, he's among the best in this league. But when push comes to shove, we can't win with this guy, so let's find out some players that we can win with and then move on from there.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating to find out, but, like, you know, none of us have answers anymore, right? But, you know, moving on from that, as far as how the new-look blue line has looked, and a guy like DPD and Marcus Pettersson coming in, what have you seen from those two guys specifically?
Positive things. I've not seen Pettersson play a lot. The older one, the young one, obviously has not gotten a lot of looks, but he looks great, to be honest. He's physical. He's shooting. He's in your face. He doesn't back down. Whether or not any offense will come with this, we don't know. But right now, I'll take everything else I mentioned there, because he can move the puck. He doesn't shy away in the corners. He's aggressive. The other guy comes as advertised in terms of lanky, good stick, defensive defenseman, can move the puck out of his own end. And then you don't really see him, which is great for those type of defensemen. And truth be told, the offense should come from Hronek and Quinn. And then we just need to make sure that when the other four are out there, we're not bleeding. We're not giving up too many goals. If the goals get decided while Quinn is on the ice, we're going to be fine. Problem is, when he comes off, what happens? And that's where past this season, when he's been off the ice, it's been tough. And we've been giving up too many goals that he hasn't been able to make up for. So it seems like right now, the first couple of games right here, the other Pettersson has found a way to stabilize the defense a little bit at least, to the point where we've been able to survive being without the most important player.
And it's sometimes very easy to get ahead of yourself, but it does feel like, to a certain extent, the defense is solved in the short term. You have Hughes and Hronek, now older Pettersson and Tyler Myers. You got a couple of young guys coming as well with junior Elias Pettersson and Tom Volander. So you feel pretty set on defense. Is the focus now to just go out and get an impact forward if you can, whether it's before the deadline or that's the focus this summer?
Yeah, we switched our problem a little bit here. The development and the drafting was good in the sense that Volander, the Swedish defenseman who's playing in Boston, Pettersson here, they're coming in now. We traded Bull and JT, which was our Richie. We were very deep on center. We had all this offense, but we needed D. Now we're hearing, we need a top six center. Yeah, gee, we do, because we traded two of them away.
Yeah.
And the only way to get those is you have to move one of the other guys unless you develop them or find them in free agency. That's the tough part. There are players coming up, don't get me wrong. Cap is going up, so Vancouver should be fine in that sense. Without thinking of prices or whatever, there's great top six wingers coming up. Marner's coming up. Rantanen's coming up. Ehlers coming up. There are legitimate top six wingers that would come in on this team and be the best winger. The problem is we've been needing that guy for a while now, while we have the two centers in place. Now you need the center and preferably one of those guys. So again, UFA can solve some problems, but it's hard. It's very, very hard to go out and find two of these guys because you're going to go overpay. There's no question. You're going to be overpaying on July 1st. So if it's just these depth pieces that we were missing up until now, second defenseman in Hronek, third defenseman in Marcus Pettersson, these guys we should be able to find in UFA without having to pay 10, 11, 12, 14 million for them, where if you go out and ask a Marner to come here or Rantanen to come here in the summer, I can guarantee you they're going to be the highest paid player, because that's where it's going to go at. So again, yeah, we've solved the D, some through some fine work on the trading part and drafting, but we have another gigantic hole right now, which is going to be a lot harder to fill through trading, in my opinion, because it is one of those key spots, number one defenseman, who's your goalie, and then your top two centers. Around those guys, we can fill in any player, and we can find them because there are a lot more of those available than those three or four positions that are not a lot of players that can carry. And those that can carry, they don't become available unless there is something attached to them, or you're breaking the bank.
You mentioned Nick Ehlers. Is it because he's Danish, or do you see something in his game that you really like?
I'm obviously a little bit biased there. Yeah, I played with him, but the first time I played with him was back in, 2016 World Championship, and I stepped on the ice with him, and he blew me away. His skating is, that's the way the league went as well, but he's so explosive. He's so skilled. He can play the half wall because he's got a cannon of a shot. He's still in the right age range. And again, my familiarity is with him, knowing him, like he's a guy that will succeed in the way the league is going. So again, I mentioned his name because it's easy just to mention Rantanen and Marner, but there are other players coming available that are legitimate top six that are playing the way this game is going. Saw O'Connor coming into the team and what speed does Hedl, what speed does for a team, and speed kills. Speed still got to have skill. It's got to work hard. But when you have it, it's tough to defend against.
Quinn Hughes is going to have a pretty big decision here. Obviously, he's out hurt. We don't know if he'll play tomorrow against Toronto. wants to play in the Four Nations. For his club team, the Canucks, it's probably best that he takes a couple of weeks off. But I imagine it's pretty hard to get somebody to turn away from international best-on-best play. I know you suited up for Denmark quite a bit.
Yeah, this is one of those ones where you, again, management, coaches, they hope he doesn't go. I know Tuchel's going to have him as a player, but he doesn't hope he's going. But it'll be up to him. He's earned the right to say, I want to play with my brother. I want to play for my country. I am probably the best defenseman in the league, and this is the best on best. I want to showcase myself at this level. You hope he don't go because he's... again, you don't hope he's hurt, but that he values a little bit of rest to become better for the stretch down the line. But if he goes, I have no problems with it. He earned the right to make that decision himself, for himself and for his family, to be honest.
Yannick, we always appreciate the time and the insights. Thanks for this.
Thank you. Take care.
There is Yannick Hansen joining us here on Canuck Central. And doesn't really hold back on his thoughts about Elias Pettersson.
Yeah, I mean, Yannick never cheats us of an opinion, and it's very clear how he feels about the situation with him. And you know, and he mentioned this.
He's not wrong about anything that he said, really.
No, he's not. He's not. He's not wrong about any of it, right? And, you know, he mentioned, too, when the Canucks made the trade for JT, that if he just automatically starts playing better, that's also not a good sign. So, you know, it's one of those, like,
yeah.
We hope the best is yet to come, but is it going to be coming here in Vancouver again? You know, that's kind of where we're at.
It's a tricky situation that the Canucks find themselves in with their highest value player, well, at least per his contract. All right, that's Yannick Hansen joins us every single Friday on Canuck Central. Coming up, your questions for us here on Canuck Central. A primer of what is to come. This question came in at the Dunbar Lumber text message inbox. Sat, who are your five top Australians of all time? That's Justin in CR.
Well, that's not a mailbag question.
I mean, it's a primer for the Friday mailbag. Who are Sat's top five Australians all time?
All right, let's see. I mean, Hugh Jackman, big fan.
Harry Kuehl.
Yeah, him, so add two. Heath Ledger, massive.
Yeah,
massive.
Yeah.
I guess.
That's all we got.
No, I mean, back in the day, used to be Mel Gibson, but like you can't touch that.
Yeah.
Well,
that's, man, three.
Who else? Who? That's three. That's the Hugh Jackman.
Isn't?
You know what?
Sam Kerr.
Okay, Sam Kerr. Okay, Sam Kerr. That's
big
another
Chelsea
one. That's a good
star.
One. Yeah, big Chelsea star, and Kylie Minogue. She's Australian, right?
I wouldn't know.
Yeah. She's Australian, Kylie. She is. Kylie Minogue is Australian. And,
not Crocodile Dundee?
She is very much Australian.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess, who's the actor that plays Crocodile Dundee? I don't even know his name. I'm sorry. I'm going to ones that I know their name, you know?
Fair enough.
Who didn't have a crush on Kylie Minogue growing up, right?
That's fair. Nicole Kidman, also Australian. The Hemsworth brothers.
Oh, so apparently Patrick Rafter is his name. Big text to me. Big knows more about Australians than an Aussie himself.
We can thank you for our Australian research the last couple of days.
Yeah, no kidding.
It's Dan Riccio, Satyam Shah.
Yeah. Patrick Rafter is a tennis player. Never mind. He's talking about a tennis player.
Okay.
Never mind.
And
great
of course,
stuff today, mate.
Steve Irwin. Who could forget? All right.
Paul Hogan is the actor that played Crocodile Dundee.
Well, now we figured it out. All right. Mailbag is coming up next on Canuck Central.
Discussing the biggest stories that matter to Vancouver sports fans. Halford and Brough in the morning. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.